All right. Good morning, Encounter Church. Glad to see each and every one of you gathering with us here this morning. I just want to, just for a very, very brief moment, reflect there on what Jesse read from 1 John chapter 3, because I don't want us to too quickly forget and see really this great significance of this. And just listen there as you sit there at your seats. As I read from God's Word, 1 John chapter 3, I'll read several of the verses, a few more verses than Jesse read for us. Verse 1, chapter 3 of 1 John, John wrote, he said, "How great is the love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God." Hearing those words, friends, children of God, folks, we hardly understand how significant in the depth of that is, that we sinful people, that we, even in the rebelliousness of our hearts, that God would send his son Jesus to die on the cross, and that he would see fit to call us children of God. And then he goes on and he says, and that is what we are. He wants to reaffirm that in our hearts, deep in our souls. And I don't know about you, but there are some days when I need to hear that. I need to be reaffirmed of God's love for me, of who I am in Christ Jesus. And so John, he reemphasizes that. He says, not only are we called children of God, but it says, and that is what we are. Then we go on, it says, the reason the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Dear friends, we are children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known, but we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself, just as he is pure. And so we recognize and anticipate a day that the Lord is changing us, and that we are becoming more like Christ each and every day. That should be our longing. That should be our pursuit, is to glorify Christ in our lives, because we are his children, and that we long and look forward to the day when Jesus will one day appear, and that the Bible tells us that every knee will bow, every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord. That those who even in the rebellious hearts, and that till their final breath they might continue to rebel against God, but there is a day coming when they will see and they will know for sure who the Lord Jesus Christ is. So with that thought in mind, join with me in prayer. Father, Lord, I just pray for each of us here this morning. Lord, as we take this time each week to gather with our brothers and sisters in you, Lord, for the purpose of praising you, for the purpose of serving one another, for the purpose of singing songs not only in worship to you, but even songs to one another in encouragement. Father, I pray that as we come into this time, Lord, that we would be reminded of your deep love, of your great love, and Lord, how you glorify yourself through your love. Lord, whenever we maybe doubt your love for us, Father, I pray that you would draw our attention to the cross. Lord, we're so thankful that you do see fit to call us your children. Lord, we're thankful for Jesus Christ. We're thankful that you have allowed us to be able to place our faith in him. And Lord, that we are able to experience the newness of life that comes through Jesus Christ, that comes through the Holy Spirit working inside of us. Lord, as your children, God, help us to live accordingly. Lord, help us to truly desire. Lord, help our hearts to truly desire, to want to live in a way that is pleasing to you, to say no to sin and to say yes to righteousness and yes to right living. And Father, I'm so thankful that there is great joy when we live according to your word. And Lord, there's a joy that this world cannot offer us. Father, I do ask and pray that your Holy Spirit would show us those areas of our lives that are not pleasing to you. And God, that we would turn from that sin and that we would run to you and that we would want to trust in you and to trust in your word more and more each and every day. Lord, we're thankful for Karis and his leadership of the youth group. And we do pray for those young high school students and those adults who will be going to Mexico this summer. We're thankful for Jesse and his leadership within YWAM. And Lord, we ask and pray that you would begin preparing the hearts of those students and those adults as they seek to minister there. Yet, Lord, we also are fully aware that oftentimes the true ministry, it seems, is done in the hearts of those who try to go and minister. And so, Lord, I pray that you would use this to change the hearts of those who are going. And, Lord, that as your word is declared and as the gospel is presented there in Mexico, Lord, that those seeds of the gospel would take root and would eventually, in due time, bear fruit. Father, I pray for those who are not with us, who are shut in and are ill at this time. We just continue to pray for Doug and Wanda. And Father, we pray that you would heal his neck. Lord, that you would give him comfort. Through this, Lord, I pray that you would draw his heart to yourself in ways that he has never experienced before. Lord, that his faith would deepen through this. Lord, I lift up Chadwick, who's in need of a job. God, help Chadwick to listen to your word and to believe your word, knowing that you are fully aware of his needs, even before Chadwick knows of his needs. God, you know that you are that father who loves his children and cares for us. And so, Lord, we pray that you would, in your timing, provide Chadwick a job. And yet through this time without a job, Father, that you would deepen Chadwick's faith in you, that his faith and his walk with you would mature. Lord, we pray that you would give him endurance. We also lift up Margot, and we ask that you would continue to be with her in her battle with MS. Oh, Father, I pray that you would just continue to do your mighty work in her life. We thank you for her when she's able to be with us, and just the smile that she brings and the work that you've been doing in her life. And now, Lord, as we open up your word and we talk about prayer, God, I just ask that you would do a work in our lives and that we would become devoted to prayer, that we would truly be a praying people. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. If you were with us last week, you are familiar with the fact that we have hit the pause button on our study in the book of Genesis for really one reason in particular. As the elders have gathered in recent months and as we've been obviously looking to oversee the body of believers here, feeling it necessary for us to get back to some of the basics, and really primarily the basic of prayer. It is very easy for us as a church, I'm tempted to say it's very easy for us as individual believers as well, as we go about the course of our weeks, to lose sight of some of those fundamental necessities of the Christian life. And that one of the most important necessities is that we be devoted to prayer. And so it's for that reason, as we announced and as we kind of segued into this time of learning about prayer, but almost more importantly at times, while we can learn a lot about prayer without ever praying, and I think oftentimes it's easy for us to focus on our knowledge of prayer rather than to actually get down to the business of praying. And so during this time in which we're going to be focusing on prayer, we as a church, I mean, this will be a schoolroom for prayer. This will be a schoolhouse of prayer where there will be Sundays where some of us, it might be a very uncomfortable situation that some of us are put into, where we are going to be asking one another to turn to each other and let's pray together as a church. But we believe that in the long run that this will be of really great benefit, and that it will help reorient ourselves and really listen and seek to listen and to hear what the Lord has of us and wants of us as a church body. So with that thought in mind, I do want to just talk about, again, it's really the importance of the fundamentals. And I was thinking, obviously, about preparing this sermon and about kind of this exercise, entering into this time, this school of prayer. I was reminded that it is the fundamentals that we should always continually going back to. And I thought of when I was younger, I took piano lessons for 3.5 years. And then finally, I think my mom in particular was probably tired of putting up with my whining and complaining. And she said, if that's what you want, if you want to quit, just go ahead and quit. And I wish she would have chained me to that piano bench. But I remember, what does the piano teacher always have you do? The first thing that you do before starting to play any type of piano piece itself, and I'll look at Jennifer Rogers, she's the one back here. Jennifer, what's important for you to practice and to know on the front end as you're entering into becoming a piano player? Don't let me down, Jennifer. Knowing the scales? Could we do it, practice? How many of you remember the scales? Remember that? Yeah. How many of you took piano lessons? All right. Let's see those hands. All right. How many of you remember having to play all of those scales? Right. Starting out with that center C, and then working your way up. It's just those fundamentals. Earlier this week, there on our table was a math sheet with all of those basic math questions that we're working through with our children. Just some of those fundamentals. What's 1 plus 1? What's 1 plus 2? How many of you remember those speed tests back in school? Come on now, let's see those hands, right? When the teacher would hand you the speed test, and then you'd have to go as fast as you could, see if you could get through all of the multiplication questions, and then she'd say, pencils down, and you'd have to look up. Think about basketball, even. I know we're in a season where there's a lot of hype about basketball, and there are the fundamentals of basketball. Free throw shooting, dribbling, and how a good coach will have his team practice those fundamental practices, and in each and every practice, they will go and they'll continually shoot free throws. They call it the charity strip, don't they? Because it's an easy shot, but it's one that can be oh so difficult when you're right up against the wall. Thinking about construction, if you're in the area of construction, you know there are fundamentals when it comes to construction. One of those fundamentals is knowing how to read a measuring tape. How to know which of those little lines, where's the quarter inch, where's the eighth inch, where's the 16th of an inch. Knowing that is vitally important if you're going to be capable at construction. I worked a lot with my dad growing up, and there are two ends of the measuring tape, and he always called the one end where you didn't have to read anything, he'd call it the dumb end. And so oftentimes he'd send me out there with the dumb end, and so I wouldn't be the one who was measuring it because it's so vitally important. So there are just fundamental practices within many areas of our life that we have to make sure that we know for certain. Because when you get away from the fundamentals, what happens is you enter into frustration, right? Isn't it incredibly frustrating when your team has a chance to win the basketball game, but you can't make the free throws at the end of the line, at the end of the game? And so this is what we're getting back to. We're taking some time here to just really hone in and focus in on what is prayer? How do we pray? Even the disciples, they went to Jesus and they said, Lord, teach us how to pray. And so we are not alone in this exercise. We're not alone in this pursuit. This morning, we're going to look at Daniel's prayer. Daniel's prayer. And Daniel was a very important character there within the Old Testament. And I would invite you, go ahead and grab your copy of God's Word. If you didn't bring a copy of God's Word, we have a number of them scattered there on the chairs. Daniel chapter 6 is where I want to begin. And if you're not exactly sure where the book of Daniel is, have no fear. All right, you want to kind of turn toward the center of Scripture. And if you find the book of Isaiah, obviously the book of Psalms is a good place to start. But then you want to turn a few pages to the right, and you'll hit the book of Isaiah. And then once you've hit Isaiah, you'll go Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentations, Ezekiel, and then you'll hit what? Daniel. Daniel chapter 6 is where I'd like to begin. And we're going to look here and try to learn what are some characteristics of not only prayer, but also what are some characteristics of one who is a praying person? And we're going to see this in particular here in Daniel chapter 6. Just a quick history lesson. Many of you are probably familiar with the fact that the Israelites, they were hauled off into exile there in 586 BC by the Babylonians. King Nebuchadnezzar came down and he hauled a bunch of them away. I believe there were 2 or 3 different waves of exile. Well, what Nebuchadnezzar did on the front end of it is he went down and he sifted and he found some of the brightest, some of the wisest and the brightest of the young people. And he hauled them off and he began indoctrinating them or attempting to indoctrinate them into the Babylonian way of life. And of course, that's where we learn of 4 young men in particular, Daniel as the one who we'll look at this morning, but then also we learn about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Obviously, those 3 are famous there for the fiery furnace account. This morning, we're going to look at Daniel specifically, and I want to start there in chapter 6, starting with verse 1. Follow along with me as I read from God's Word. Verse 1. It pleased Darius to appoint 120 satraps to the rule throughout the kingdom, with 3 administrators over them, one of whom was Daniel. The satraps were accountable to them so that the king might not suffer loss. Now Daniel so distinguished himself among the administrators and the satraps by his exceptional qualities that the king planned to set him over the whole kingdom. At this, the administrators and the satraps tried to find grounds for charges against Daniel in his conduct of government affairs, but they were unable to do so. They could find no corruption in him because he was trustworthy and neither corrupt nor negligent. Finally, these men said, "We will never find any basis for charges against this man Daniel unless it has something to do with the law of his God." So we call a quick time out here and we look and see what's taking place. Is we see that Daniel had distinguished himself. He was an exceptional man. He was not one of the Babylonians. He was one of those Israelites who was hauled off into exile there into Babylon. They were trying to indoctrinate him into the Babylonian way. And he had set himself apart, so much so that Darius decides that he wants to put Daniel into a high position. It's very obvious that there were some men who were against Daniel, and so they're trying to find some way that they can trip Daniel up, some way that they can find to accuse him of something so that he'll experience a downfall, so that he won't be put in this position of prominence. And do you notice these incredible words? They say there in verse 5, "We will never find any basis for charges against this man Daniel unless it has something to do with the law of his God." In other words, Daniel was a man who loved the Lord. Daniel was a man who pursued holiness, who wanted to live for the Lord, even there amidst a Babylonian culture, a culture that was contrary to the ways of God. And so these individuals who are these enemies of Daniel, they're trying to set up a trap for him. Verse 6, then let's join again. So the administrators and the satraps went as a group to the king and said, "O King Darius, live forever. The royal administrators, prefects, satraps, advisors, and governors all have agreed that the king should issue an edict and enforce the decree that anyone who prays to any god or man during the next 30 days, except to you, O king, shall be thrown into the lion's den." Now, O king, issue the decree and put it in writing so that it cannot be altered in accordance with the laws of the Medes and Persians, which cannot be repealed. So King Darius put the decree in writing. Verse 10. Now when Daniel learned that the decree had been published, he went home to his upstairs room where the windows opened toward Jerusalem. Three times a day he got down on his knees and prayed, giving thanks to his God, just as he had done before. Let me stop there and let's look again at verse 10. And I want you just to, we're going to see that there's a habit of prayer that Daniel entered into. Again, verse 10, it says, now when Daniel learned that the decree had been published, he went home to his upstairs room where the windows opened toward Jerusalem. Three times a day he got down on his knees and prayed, giving thanks to his God, just as he had done before. We see Daniel is not deterred by Darius's decree. Obviously, it was a trap that had been set, that Darius, not thinking very far, not thinking past his pride whatsoever. King Darius is part of setting up this trap to somehow convict Daniel. And we see Daniel is not deterred from it. Daniel sees the great importance of prayer. Daniel then just goes about his daily habits of prayer. Notice Daniel had a place where he prayed. He would often go to his upstairs room. Notice that his windows opened toward Jerusalem. Understand that at this point in time, they are in exile. For 70 years, God had prophets. They had heard through the prophets that they would be carried off into exile. And so Daniel, in anticipation of the day, believing in God's promises, every day he would look, he would get on his knees, he would face Jerusalem, praying and knowing and believing in God's promises that there would be a day when they would return home. As well, it says he got down on his knees and he prayed, giving thanks to his God, just as he had done before. So we see some of Daniel's, his prayer life, of what his prayer activity looked like on a daily basis. It wasn't just he prayed before meals and he kind of shot up a quick blessing or a quick thanks, Lord, for this food. But instead, he was intentional about it three times a day. He obviously didn't have a stop, an alarm, or he didn't have a phone there to help him keep track. He just knew that there were three times every day that he would call a break from his activities. He would trust that the world would continue to exist, that his task list would, that enough of it would get done, that it was more important for him to go back and to get on his knees in prayer. We see some of his activities. Now I want you to turn to Daniel chapter 9, and we're going to see some of the characteristics of his prayer, where we actually see one of Daniel's prayers recorded and written for us. And I am going to read through all of this prayer, and then I'll make seven quick characteristics that we can then apply. Verse 9, Daniel chapter 9. Or verse 1, Daniel chapter 9. In the first year of Darius, son of Xerxes, a Mede by descent, who was made ruler over the Babylonian kingdom, in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood from the scriptures, according to the word of the Lord given to Jeremiah the prophet, that the desolation of Jerusalem would last 70 years. So I turned to the Lord God and pleaded with him in prayer and petition, in fasting and in sackcloth and ashes. I prayed to the Lord my God and confessed, O Lord, the great and awesome God who keeps his covenant of love with all who love him and obey his commands. We have sinned and done wrong. We have been wicked and have rebelled. We have turned away from your commands and laws. We have not listened to your servants, the prophets, who spoke in your name to our kings, our princes, and our fathers, and to all the people of the land. Lord, you are righteous. But this day we are covered with shame. The men of Judah and people of Jerusalem and all Israel, both near and far, and all the countries where you have scattered us because of our unfaithfulness to you. O Lord, we and our kings, our princes, and our fathers are covered with shame because we have sinned against you. The Lord our God is merciful and forgiving. Even though we have rebelled against him, we have not obeyed the Lord our God or kept the laws he gave us through his servants, the prophets. All Israel has transgressed your law and turned away, refusing to obey you. Therefore, the curses and sworn judgments written in the law of Moses, the servant of God, have been poured out on us because we have sinned against you. You have fulfilled the words spoken against us and against our rulers by bringing upon us great disaster. Under the whole heaven, nothing has ever been done like that, like what has been done to Jerusalem. Just as it is written in the law of Moses, all this disaster has come upon us, yet we have not sought the favor of the Lord our God by turning from our sins and giving attention to your truth. The Lord did not hesitate to bring the disaster upon us, for the Lord our God is righteous in everything he does, yet we have not obeyed him. Now, O Lord our God, who brought your people out of Egypt with a mighty hand, who made for yourself a name that endures to this day, we have sinned, we have done wrong. O Lord, in keeping with all your righteous acts, turn away your anger and your wrath from Jerusalem, your city, your holy hill. Our sins and the iniquities of our fathers have made Jerusalem and your people an object of scorn to all those around us. Now, our God, hear the prayers and petitions of your servant. For your sake, O Lord, look with favor on your desolate sanctuary. Give ear, O God, and hear. Open your eyes and see the desolation of the city that bears your name. We do not make requests of you because we are righteous, but because of your great mercy. O Lord, listen. O Lord, forgive. O Lord, hear and act. And for your sake, O my God, do not delay, because your city and your people bear your name. I wonder, when we stack our prayers up against Daniel's prayers, what they compare like. Isn't it often true, and I am just as guilty as the next guy, that oftentimes we go to the Lord and we present to him this laundry list. Lord, I need this, 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 and this. And God, I pray that this would be, that you would do this, and Lord, that you would act and that you would hear my prayer. I believe Daniel gives us really, frankly, a very almost un-American evangelical church approach to prayer, doesn't he? We're going to see that it's not, the focus of the prayer is not centered on Daniel, but instead the focus of the prayer is centered on God's glory. With that in mind, I want to give you just seven quick characteristics, and these are prayer characteristics. Again, folks, over these next number of weeks, This is going to be so incredibly elementary. This is going to be so incredibly foundational to us. Some of you might say, boy, I knew this already. And that very well could be true. But we don't want to just know it. We want to practice it. We want to get away from just having the head knowledge that makes us feel good and makes us feel really smart. And we actually want to get to the point to where we're practicing it. Compare it to like this. I could know a lot about my wife. We could sit in the same room and she could hand me this personal report all about herself, and I could learn all of this good stuff about my wife. I could just fill my mind with the knowledge of who my wife is and what she likes and what she doesn't like, what she's good at and what she doesn't particularly care to do. But more importantly, what does my wife desire? My wife desires for me to truly know her, and that takes place through communication. And that's the same with God. We can know a lot about God. We can know a lot about how to pray. But frankly, that really doesn't matter until we actually begin to pray. And so these are very basic characteristics. And here's the first characteristic that we gather from Daniel's prayer, from Daniel chapter 9. And it's that God's word was the catalyst for Daniel's prayer. That God's word was the catalyst for Daniel's prayer. Did you catch it? Back there in verse 2 of Daniel chapter 9, it says, in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, he says, I understood from the scriptures according to the word of the Lord given to Jeremiah the prophet. So Daniel had been reading the book of Jeremiah. Daniel had been reading the writings of the prophet Jeremiah. And Daniel had come to the point to where he realized that, hey, we're going to be in this for 70 years. And you notice what prompted his prayer was the reading of Scripture. Scripture has a way of governing, of guiding and directing our prayers. Again, many times when we come to the Lord in prayer, it's starting from our starting point is what I want, is my felt needs, is I need this, I need this, I need this, or what someone else wants, isn't it? But instead we see that Daniel begins his prayer prompted by the reading of God's word. It's God's word that will help fuel our prayer life. If you're trying to have a prayer life void of truly reading God's word and meditating on God's word and allowing God's word to saturate your mind and your heart, your prayer life will either be very dry or it will be very self-centered. Characteristic number two, we see Daniel assumed a prayer posture. We saw that back in Daniel chapter 6. Three times a day, he got on his knees, he faced Jerusalem, he looked out the window, and he went to the Lord in prayer. There was something significant. Again, God's more concerned about the posture of our hearts. We get that. But let me just say that there is value in assuming a prayer posture. In fact, we see all throughout Scripture, there are prayer postures that are given, whether it's raised hands there, Moses in Exodus chapter 17, whether it's kneeling there in Mark chapter 1, verse 4, whether it's there in Luke 18, the pounding of the breast. Almost I picture Tarzan praying out, pleading to the Lord. We get this sense that this is deep, this heartfelt prayer of one who assumes this. They're pounding their breast, trying to say, Lord, this is serious business that I'm dealing with here. Even there and then Daniel chapter 6 of facing the temple. Let me just throw this out to you, and maybe you've got this perfected better than I do. Laying down at night with your head on a pillow typically is not the best prayer posture. All right, if you are waiting till the final hours of your day, thinking I'll go to the Lord and have a really deep time. Now, please do fall asleep praying, okay? Please fall asleep praying. I encourage you to do that. Make that a practice. But don't count on that as being your most significant deep time of going to the Lord in prayer. Because chances are, if you're like me, and I know many of you excel much more than I do, I typically will begin praying for a short, very, very, very short amount of time, and then before I know it, my alarm is going off. So we might consider even assuming a posture of prayer. Characteristic number three is that Daniel confessed sin. Did you take notice is that Daniel not only, he joins himself with the people, doesn't he? And he doesn't say, Lord, look at them, they have sinned. Again, we understand that Daniel, we just learned this in Daniel chapter 6, that he was an upright man, that they couldn't find any way, they couldn't find anything wrong with him. But yet Daniel has a way as he joins with the people, those who he's leading, and he goes to God on behalf of the people, and he pleads to the Lord in prayer. But did you notice how long his confession of sin was? Do you notice how long? I mean, we're all the way to verse 15. And we don't even get into any type of sense of a petition. Again, confession of sin is something that we just quickly glaze over, isn't it? That we say, Lord, please forgive me of my sin, and then we just roll right into the rest of our prayer. But what we learn is that there is deep importance in our prayer life that we spend time confessing our sins. That we ask the Holy Spirit to investigate and to evaluate and to bring to mind and to light those areas of our lives that are not pleasing to the Lord. And then we ask Him and we say, Lord, I repent of that. Father, help me. Lord, forgive me of that. Help me to turn from that. Help me to live differently from that. And so confession of sin needs to be a regular practice of our daily prayer life as well. Characteristic number four, then, we see that God's attributes were acknowledged. And we see this in right out of the chute, he begins, he says, verse 4, he says, O Lord, the great and awesome God, who keeps his covenant of love with all who love him and obey his commands. He's giving a shout out to God. He's lifting up who God is. He's acknowledging God's attributes. He's acknowledging who he's going to prayer before whom this is, who he's dealing with. He says, God, you're awesome. You're a covenant keeper. You keep your promises. You're faithful. And then in other areas, he talks about God being merciful as well, and a number of God's different attributes that come to mind, and that he declares those back to the Lord. I think that's important for us as we go to the Lord in prayer, that we remember God's attributes, we remember who God is, and that helps temper sometimes our approach to him as just being a personal vending machine for us. Characteristic number five, we've seen this already, that intercession was made on behalf of others. That intercession was made on behalf of others, and this is where he confesses the sins of the nation, of the people. But as well, he's interceding on behalf of the other people. It's interesting. Again, like I've said, it's not toward the latter part of this prayer that we actually see intercession being made. He's asking the Lord to show some mercy on Jerusalem, to show some mercy on the people. And this intercession, again, it's so important, and it's important for us as a church to be interceding on behalf of one another, that when we know of the needs of that each of us have, that we go to the Lord in prayer for those needs. And Daniel shows this to be true. Again, another characteristic of our prayers. The sixth characteristic is that Daniel recognized the basis of his confidence in prayer. And Daniel recognizes the basis of his confidence in prayer. And this then, we see this starting there in verse 17. I'll just read this and I'll bring our attention to where his confidence in prayer is. Verse 17, he says, "Now, our God, hear the prayers and petitions of your servant. For your sake, O Lord, look with favor on your desolate sanctuary. Give ear, O God, and hear. Open your eyes and see the desolation of the city that bears your name." Look at this then. He says, "We do not make requests of you because we are righteous, but because of your great mercy." Daniel's not coming to the Lord saying, "I demand this, God. I deserve this. Lord, look at what I've done for you. You better give this to me." But instead, Daniel comes before the Lord in great and utter humility. He says, "I don't deserve this. Lord, I don't even deserve a hearing from the God of the universe." He said, "I don't come before you because of your righteousness, but instead I come before you. The only reason why you might answer or act on behalf of these prayers is because that you are a merciful, that you are a graceful God." Yesterday, this little picture was made visible for me and for one of my children. They were out and we were doing some work there in the backyard, and they were kind of on and off a little bit. I don't make my kids work all the time, but I do. I mean, eventually they will work most of the time. But right now, you know, we're still in the middle of childhood and entering into that and trying to figure it all out, how to work. And so they were working, and occasionally we'd have a good attitude. Occasionally there'd be a bad attitude, sputter up and whatnot. And so I was talking to one of them. And I said, "You know, listen," I said, my plan is, I'd like to, you know, after we get this done, I'd like to take all you guys and go get a Polar Pop." Oh, man, for this one guy, I mean, this is it. I will do. "You want me to clean out the chicken coop? Done. You know, with a spoon, I'll do it. I'll do anything for a Polar Pop." And so he knew this carrot was hanging out there in front of him. And that's not bribery. That's a reward system, just to let you know. And so I had it hanging out there, but then we entered into a difficult time. And again, I tell them, you know, this is not a right. You don't have rights to the Polar Pop machine. It's a privilege. It's a reward. And he entered into a time where the reward was no longer available. And he was brokenhearted about this. So, but he was, you know, he accepted it. He was brokenhearted about it, but he went around all throughout the day. Well, then our neighbor, Krista, she walks over And she comes up to me and she says, Michael, do you mind? She said, the kids and I, we're walking up to Circle K to get a Polar Pop. I wondered if your kids wanted to come along. Said, yeah. I said, sure. I said, fine. But I said, you need to send this one young man that to me first. I need to talk to him. He needs to come to me. And so he came, and of course, he's entering into, this area with fear and trepidation. And really, I'm a nice guy. Seriously, I am. But he starts walking, and from a distance, he says, Dad, can I go get a Polar Pop? I said, I need you to come here. Like right here, where we are smelling one another's breath. And so he comes here, and I'm down on one knee, we're eye level, and he said, Dad, can I go get a Polar Pop? And I looked him in the eyes, and I said, you may. I said, but listen. I said, you know earlier that this was not an option, was it? No, sir. I said, but this is a picture of how God gives us mercy and grace. Friends, I will tell you, we know justice at the Baim household. Justice, and again, there is justice, but we also want our kids to know grace and mercy too. And so I'm looking this young man square in the eyes, and I said, this is like how God is grace-filled and merciful to us. Because you don't deserve this Polar Pop, but you can go get it. And he's excited, and he's running off. And then as I'm driving, they went and got the Polar Pop, and then I had to leave and run an errand, and I saw that Motley Crue, the Wrights, and Jacob Walker was with them, and my older boys. And as I'm driving past, you know who's yelling as he sees the van, and of course I'm blaring the horn, honk, 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 honk. This boy, he's yelling up, the one who had just experienced mercy, and he's holding the Polar Pop. He says, Dad, Dad, I got Dr. Pepper, Dr. Pepper, Dad. Because he typically doesn't get Dr. Pepper. Krista said, what should they get? I said, I don't care. I said, just whatever they want. And he's like, 44 ounces of Dr. Pepper. But Daniel recognized, didn't he? Daniel recognized the basis of his confidence. It wasn't him. It was God's mercy. And this is how we should come to the Lord in prayer. I don't deserve this, Lord. But because you're merciful and because you're graceful and because you want me to come to you in prayer, I come to you in prayer. And then finally, we see the purpose of the prayer. We see the purpose of the prayer. Is for God's glory. Verse 19, he says, O Lord, listen. O Lord, forgive. O Lord, hear and act. Why? Does he say, for my sake? Lord, do this for me. We make Christianity, we make our faith, we make our love of God so me-centered. Lord, answer this prayer for me. Do this for me. But Daniel says, no. He says, Lord, hear and act. Why? For your sake, oh my God, do not delay, because your city and your people bear your name. And so we should look at our prayers. We should review our prayers. We should ask ourselves, when I pray, is my goal, is my purpose to bring glory to the Lord? That as I confess my sins, as I intercede on behalf of the other people, as I present my request to the Lord, He wants to hear our requests. But more and most importantly, God seeks to glorify Himself through the prayers of His people. These are seven characteristics. This is just the tip of the iceberg, friends. We are just dipping our toe in the deep end on this prayer thing. One of these days, we're going to push you all in without swimmies. No, we'll give you swimmies every now and then. But this is, these are characteristics that we should be putting into practice. There's some questions there. They're on the center of your handout. Some questions there at the end. Obviously, we have the further study questions at the end. I encourage you to do those. But there's some important key questions for us to review this week, to begin putting into practice this prayer as you set about. Is there a time when you're going to set aside to pray? Is there a place in your house that you're going to pray? Who are you interceding for? How are you confessing sin? What sins do you need to be confessing? And then how are your prayers seeking to glorify God through this? Now again, we're easing into this, all right? Today we're dipping our toe, and we're just dipping our toe into the deep end a little bit. So we are going to spend just a few moments personal prayer. All right, Carrie and the band, they're going to come and pray. And we're just going to do about 5 minutes or so, just a few minutes. And I want you, maybe you need to spend some time confessing sin. Maybe you need to spend some time confessing sin and say, Lord, I don't know what it means to be devoted to prayer. Maybe it's spending time saying, Lord, teach me how to pray. Maybe there's some other great burdens on your heart or on your mind right now that you need to go to the Lord right now. And so just during this time, I encourage you personally this week, we're just going to focus just for a few minutes personally, go to the Lord in prayer, and then Carrie will come and conclude. Father, we do want to know your presence. And Father, I ask that you would help us this week to just cry out to you saying, Lord, teach us how to pray. And Lord, help us from Daniel's example and the many other examples there in Scripture. And Father, help us to truly become devoted to prayer. Lord, help us through this. Father, I pray that you would glorify your name through this. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Encounter Church, you got one assignment this week. You want to know what it is? To go pray.